Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, winning feels so good, folks. We're here at the Point After at the Swamp Room. 5,400 vets in Metairie waiting on you. All you happy Hoodites to show up after witnessing 26-14 victory over the New York Giants. Boy, oh boy, Cajun Cannon, we've been waiting a while. Regular season, preseason, it's been all the way since last year since we experienced the sweet taste of victory.
Especially in the dome, you know, Craig's Electric. Craig told me, and I didn't realize this. I know the last time we won a game, it was in New York against the New York Football Giants.
Right.
We won 14-11. So you know, we could beat the Giants. You know, but the last time we won in the dome was against the Falcons. You know, the last home win was almost a year ago, October 13th, 2024. So hey, we're on a roll now. Listen, we're on a roll. To get to two wins, you got to win one, and then the Patriots come into town. Tom Brady don't play for the Patriots no more, so we beat Tom Brady anyway. But I like our chances to win two in a row, keep the momentum going. All I know is when you plus five in the turnover margin,
you gotta win.
Listen, you could be the Tennessee Titans, and you'd be playing whoever you think, who you think is the best in the NFL right now.
We'll
Bills.
Say Buffalo. You're right.
Yeah, if they minus five against the Titans would beat them. Now, I was a little disappointed because we won by 12 points. We should have won by three touchdowns. You got to take advantage when you have that opportunity. But I can tell you what, there was nothing giant about the New York Football Giants. They were the New York Munchkins. You know, remember Wizard of Oz, the Munchkins? Yeah, the New York Fighting Munchkins. Yeah, they couldn't get nothing giant about New York football right now, whether it's the Jets or the Giants. They just hoping the damn Yankees do something, and then they got waxed by the Toronto Blue Jays. But anyway, I digress. But looking at what occurred, and I didn't know if it was going to happen. You got to weather the storm, handle adversity. We're down 14-3. But you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting.
Wasn't
take the football
good.
Away. Yeah, the ball bounces your way. But if you look at it, and I've said this, look at the NFL, how it is. Now, we've played. Now, think about this. This is a big enough sample size. Luke, our board operator, you know what's our record against the Giants? Think about this. We played 34 times. What do you think? We are now 17 wins, 17 losses. So the NFL loves that kind of stuff.
Parity, right.
Yes. We've won 17 times against the New York Giants, and they've beaten us 17. I mean, it's unbelievable. We tied it. We were down 17-16. But in what have you done for me lately?
We go right there.
Yeah, we've kicked that ass. if you look at it, the Saints have now beaten the New York Munchkins. We've beaten them, if you look at it, 8 of the last 10 times. So what have you done for me lately? We won 8 of the last time, and in the dome, we've beaten them. We've won 12 times and only lost 4. So that's counting Tulane Stadium, too. Tulane Stadium in the Caesar Superdome, we're now 12-4. So that's a big positive. This is one area, if we continue to do this, is outstanding. Now, I know Kellen Moore, and I'm going to bring this up to him. He's going to say, yeah, that's winning football. We do this, you can win. And how you dictate in the ebb and flow in third down. Third down, they were only 3 of 10. 30%. That's what you want to do. And then on offense, we were hovering around 50%. We were 7 of 15, 47%. That is outstanding winning football. Now, you're moving the ball. Now you got to get touchdowns in the red zone. That's why we only won by 12 and we don't won by more. But we were 0 for 3 in the red zone and 0-2 in goal to goal. So I'm not saying you got to be perfect, but that's where you need to be at least like 2 of 3 and not 0 of 3 as far as scoring points. Now, if you'd have told me this before the game, I said that we got to win the turnover battle some, because I thought we should be able to run better than we did against the Giants, because other teams were gashing. We only averaged 2.9 yards a carry, but we did have 30 rushing attempts for 88 yards. Good for Kendre Miller. He's building upon what he did in the Buffalo Bills game. He averaged 4.1 yards a carry. He had a long gain of 11 yards along with Alvin Kamara, a long gain of 11 yards. So that bode well for the running game. Now, they end up averaging 4.7, so we were like bend but don't break. But if you look at +5 in the turnover margin, now this is interesting because I said this in the pregame, who's going to win the turnover battle? Because, you know, we were 8th in the NFL, tied with the Giants. We both coming in the game, we only had 3 turnovers. And so all of a sudden, we go 0 for the season. Now we're +5 in the season, +5 for the game. Now we're going to be amongst the best. Now you got to continue that. Now against the Patriots.
Get 3 more.
Or take 2. Just be +2.
I'm getting greedy.
Yeah, you're getting a little greedy. I would take that. That would go a long way. And then what do we do now? 2 weeks in a row, penalties. We winning the penalty battle because we were averaging over 10 penalties the first 3 games. And, boy, we got some characters showing up here at the Swap Room.
So what happens when you win, Cajun Cannon?
No, everybody feels good about themselves. They feel good about life and all that. Yeah. There's nothing Giants, like I said, about the Giants right now. Nothing about football in New York goes anywhere. But anyway, looking at the penalties, this cost the Giants, and they were hovering around where that's a touchdown, basically. They had 8 penalties. You don't want to have 8. And, you know, I say you never want to have 9, and then you don't want to have 100 yards. But they had 8 for 95 yards. So that's like basically a touchdown. And we had 7 for 43. That should be the top. Always we can have about a handful. I think that would bode well and go a long way. I thought Spencer Rattler again. What did he do? He protect the football. Had a quarterback rating of 100. Jackson Dart, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Had a quarterback rating of 73. How about Taysom Hill, Swiss Army knife? I mean, he ain't even been practicing. He's been rehabbing. I don't know. He's 1 for 1. He had a quarterback rating 118. He completed a nice 19-yard pass to Juwan Johnson in the seam. He looked like a quarterback throwing the ball. It didn't look like he was trying to throw it. He looked very accurate, so good for Taysom Hill, helping out Spencer Rattler. Rattler was 20 of 30, 225 yards with that bomb for a touchdown. If you look at, now think of this another thing, not only being on that plus in the giveaway takeaway, but being +5, you want to talk about chunk plays, and you got a scoop and score like this. This speaks volumes. We had an 87-yard touchdown bomb, Rattler, to Rashid Shaheed. Then you had an 86-yard touchdown scoop and score by Jordan Howden. Now, when you think about that, I was trying to think, who was the last time, what a scoop. That's the second longest scoop and score in Saints history. I thought that might have been the longest. But you have to look, I think Keaton Mitchell. Keaton Mitchell had one that was actually longer than that. But, you know, you +5 and you tell me you have an 86-yard touchdown, the 87-yard touchdown. Well, hell yeah, the Saints won. Well, that's definitely what occurred. Now, today, the Quincy McKinstry earned his name back. Today he turned back to Kool-Aid. Ain't no damn sugar water. He's Kool-Aid.
You're back to drinking the Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid, yes, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. He earned his nickname today with 2 big interceptions. I thought all the young defensive backs were outstanding, taking advantage of the opportunities. How about Sanker? Sanker coming up big. Looks like a
back-to-back
veteran.
Back-to-back games for him, right?
Yeah, 7 total tackles, 6 unassisted, tackle for a loss, that fumble recovery, you know, always around the football. DeMario Davis forcing a fumble, and like I said, with Howden, with that scoop and score, outstanding. But looking at Kool-Aid, 2 interceptions, but leading the team with 3 passes defended. That's what you want to see. Now, it's not always all positive. I don't know. He might got to go see a sports psychologist.
Might?
That being groupie.
Yes.
But he ain't scared. Now, that was a nice tackle. Because groupie's a little guy.
Well, he's been lifting.
Yeah, he's been lifting. And he's tough. I'm not saying he's not tough. But I would, if our kicker makes his kicks, I don't care if he's tough or not. You know, he can be soft as cotton, but if he makes his kicks, I don't care. But
do your job.
Yeah, but here's Gruby right now. He's missed 5 field goals for the season all of last year. He only missed 4. So that's not encouraging there. So yeah, he might have to go see the sports psychologist.
We'll have him have a sit down with you.
Yes, I'm going to encourage him. I'm going to encourage him. But looking at that explosive play, that chunk play, relative to Rashid Shaheed, if you look at it, it's like, okay, 14-3 and 14-6. Groupie had just made a 53-yard field goal. But when you look at, you know, we backed up. Relative to Rashid, 87-yard touchdown. I wrote, this is really the first explosive play of the season. Now, we had a 39-yarder against the 49ers. That was Rashid, so that was the biggest chunk play up until that, but nothing like that 87-yard touchdown. That's what you want to see. That's actually the longest passing touchdown. You got to go back to 2016. So basically like 9 seasons ago when that kind of play occurred. But I tell you what, a big win. You know, but we were playing well enough to win. It wasn't like, except for that Seahawks game, we were fighting, but you don't get, you know, participation trophy. You don't get no moral victories. You have to win the game, and that was outstanding to come away with that win, 26-14. Now, we have to build upon that. We got to be opportunistic, and, you know, this might even be better than if we were, let's say we would have drove down and scored on our first drive. If we'd have did that on the first drive and we were setting the tone, well, really we wouldn't have been handling any adversity. But we went, you know, remember we got the ball, we went 3 and out. And we didn't have as good field position as we did against the Bills. You know, when you're trying to flip the field, where we're starting and all that.
Yeah.
But we end up going 3 and out. And the Giants get the ball. They go 8 plays, 59 yards. We're down 7-0. I said, so much for the fast start. That ain't happening.
And you kind of felt the little bit of that air in the dome kind of go, tss.
Well, the fans aren't going to be yelling just to be yelling. You got to give them something to yell about.
Initially, there was that great excitement because you had Taysom Hill and DeMario leading
the chant.
Taysom and Foster leading the chant.
Yeah, when Taysom also first went into the game, people start getting optimistic. But, you know, we had this one, you know, we're trying to answer. We go 14 plays, 70 yards, almost 8 minutes. But we end up kicking a 28-yard field goal.
Right.
That's when you need to tie the game in the future. Instead of making it 7-3, make that 7-7. But also, I'm going to ask Coach, and this would be a coach question for Coach Galliano. When do we decide we are running the ball out on kickoff? You know how all of a sudden, like, oh, man, we didn't go nowhere. You know, when do you decide not to run out? Because you can't. Be going all of a sudden, oh, that was a terrible return. What we got to the 12-yard line or something? So that's something when you look what occurs. But then you look the fast start that the Giants got off, and then we were able to weather the storm. You know, it's now 7-3, but they go 8 plays, 70
Bam,
yards.
Right.
And Darta Johnson plus 14-yard touchdown. Now it's 14-3. But again, we kept fighting in there. We moved the ball and we went 12 plays, only 49 yards, but the groupie kicks a 53-yard field goal. But then we kind of took off from there after it was 14-6, then 14-13. And I think I agree with Coach Kellen Moore. What was important, and you always want that momentum going into the half, that we're able to take the lead going into halftime. Because, you know, this whole season we've only led for 4 minutes. And that was waiting the Cardinals game. You know, so you look, we have not really led. So I think even groupie, you got to get points there. It was just a 29-yard field goal. You'd rather have a touchdown, but at least, you know, we're able to take the lead. And I was like, whoa, we have the lead at halftime. So you got to feel good about yourself going in at halftime. But I tell you what, a big Saints win.
And then after that second quarter, the Giants never scored again.
Never scored. So, yeah, that was the thing. What was the unanswered points? Did we have, like, 23 unanswered points? Yeah, because I want to say it's 14-3.
Correct.
So we scored 23 unanswered points. So kudos goes to the team and the whole team effort, and props go there because, you know, we totally turned the tide and had the momentum throughout to finish that strong. Again, the New York football fans, they were coming, they were representing. But you can't talk to no smack to know who that nation member. No. Then what have you done for me lately? No, well, we've whipped you. The bottom line is they have not gotten the best of the Saints. Like I said, if you look at it, playing in New Orleans, you might as well stay in New York and don't even travel because we've won 12 times and only lost four. And like I said, wherever you're playing, whether in New York or New Orleans, we won eight of the last 10 games. So a big win for the Saints. Now, the Patriots, I expect us to be able to take care of business. Now, you got to take care of don't feel advantage. You know, it's been a year since we got a home victory.
We broke the seal.
We broke the seal, and now we just need to come away with a big win. But again, it could have been even more. And, no, I like to see in NFL history, you could do like +3, +4, or +5. What's the winning percentage? I would be shocked if somebody ever lost and would be Charlie, look that up. If somebody's ever been +5 in an NFL
right,
game,
it's almost mathematically impossible.
And lost, yeah. I want to know, but who screwed the pooch on that? Who would be +5 and still lose the game? Because to me, I think like even +2, you win like low 80s, 80%, like 82% of the time at +2. So you can look at +3, +4, +5, and go, no, the Saints are going to win. We have to win. But they was keeping it interesting in the fourth quarter. It ain't over till it's over.
Sure.
You got that ridiculous call. You can't hit the quarterback no more. You're not old school. I'll put a skirt on him.
Don't know what a hit is.
You can't hit
anymore.
Him in the head. You can't hit him too low. Oh, now, God forbid you hit him too hard because you can hit him hard. I thought you could hit him hard, but just don't land on him. Now you can't even hit him hard because if you hit him too hard and the quarterback's helmet moves, oh, that must be a penalty. No, so what the NFL? Like Mickey Loomis and all, they're going to put that into the front office, you know, in the NFL, and they're going to say, oh, you know what they tell you to apologize? Oh, we missed that one.
Yeah.
It
was that Carl Granderson was so unblocked, I think they had to call something.
Yeah, they had to call something. He's coming free. How are you supposed to coach that up?
Ridiculous.
Go hit the quarterback. You maybe throw him down. Don't land on him or don't hit him too hard. No, that was ridiculous. You can't have those kind of plays. I know you want to protect the quarterback, but you cannot call that.
Granderson didn't even follow through on the tackle. He let up.
That's what I'm saying. There's if that would have been against Rattler, you can't call that.
Right.
Any quarterback, you cannot make that call in the NFL. Like I said, I know you want to protect the quarterbacks, but you cannot. That could be crucial in a critical game. It didn't matter.
Our supercomputer, Charlie, was at it, Bobby. The Chargers lost a playoff game with a +5 turnover margin. What? They lost 31-30 to the Jags in the 2023 wild card game, blew a 27-point lead.
That sounds like when the Bills came back against Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers. Remember when Frank Reich came in for Jim Kelly?
Yes, indeed.
No, I guess miracles can happen. And thank God it didn't happen today. Because I said, no, Saints are winning. We're +5. We're going to win this game.
A 26-14 victory over the New York Giants. The black and gold getting into that win column. We're hanging here out here at the Swamp Room for the point after. 5400 Vets Boulevard in Metairie. Make sure you stop by and say, hey, who dat to the Cajun Cannon here. Taking a break here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We shall return, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To feel the joy of winning, folks. The black and gold take down the New York Giants week 5 in the Dome, 26-14 for the victory. with every field goal this season, Kessler Federal is donating $1,000 to New Orleans Women and Children's Shelter. This year's Kessler Federal has donated $8,000. Keep that up, Blake Groupie. We need more there. Back here on the Point After here at the Swamp Room, 5,400 vets in Metairie can stop by, say hoo dat to the Cajun Cannon as we're rolling on till 6 p.m. this evening. Going to our talk and text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870. First up here on the Point After to talk with the Cajun Cannon, Hector in New Orleans. What you got for us tonight, Hector?
Hey, guys. Oh, I'm glad. I'm happy for Spencer Rattler getting that monkey off his back and getting his first win, as well as the coach. The thing that I'm seeing that I'm happy about that we're improving, especially on third down efficiency on both sides of the ball, kudos to the offensive line and making sure Spencer Rattler was able to have some time. I thought we would run the ball better. The only two things going forward that still worries me are red zone efficiency, and I don't know. We need to do something about the kicker.
Well, it might be in his head now. You know, if you notice Groupie's kicking the ball, you know, like a golfer, whether you're chipping and all that, you can hit a fade or a draw. When the ball leaves Groupie's foot, whatever direction it's going that way. In other words, whether he's pushing it right, or you think he's hooking it, he's not really hooking it or pushing it. That's where the ball started out. You know, when you look at like it's going, if it's going like wide left or wide right, it's kind of straight. You know, and I don't think as much as the aim, whatever, and how.
It's not the wind.
I'm saying just look at the kicks, though. It's not like, you know, like, oh, it's going to be out, then it goes down the middle. It starts out of a goal post and comes back to the center, comes back. No, it's. It's kind of like if it's wide right, it stays wide right, or the 1 left. And usually, he has missed kicks more pushing, I'd say, more wide right than wide left. But he had one of those missed today, wide left. But, you know, you expect it today in the NFL to make 50-yard kicks. No, the one that he missed, it was like, he's going to give him the benefit of the doubt, that 52, 53-yarder. But, no, in today's NFL, you expect it to make those kicks. And he got off to... you know, a great start when you think about it. The first kick, it was not a challenge when you're looking at...
28-yarder?
No. Because right then, 28-yarder, you really need to get a touchdown. But then on the second kick, you know, to make it 14-6, that's a 53-yarder. Now, so you said maybe he's trending in the right way, but
right.
Then he misses right after that. He misses, you know, after we got... You remember we got the Rattler to Rashid, 87-yard touchdown. So now it's 14-13. But looking at Groupie, 52-yard field goal, no good. And that's when, right after that, when they responded, we were kind of lucky. I said, man, you got to make that kick. You could take the lead. But you look, that's when Slayton caught the 9-yard ball, then forced fumble about DeMario Davis, then Sanker recovered. So we were opportunistic, taking the ball away. And then Groupie, again, he makes a 29-yard field goal to take the lead, you know, really right before half. But, yeah, you got to make those kicks. There was no kick today. You weren't dealing with inclement weather or anything that Groupie shouldn't have made. And it's going to come down to, you know, it's a make or miss league. You cannot be 50%, and he was 2-4. No, he needs to be like 4-4. You know, because I think those points are going to be so valuable. But because the way we structured, I think for us to score 26 points, we shouldn't lose a damn game. We got to challenge our defense because we don't want to get in shootouts. Remember, we were going forever for us to even try and score 20 points. So if we have this kind of production as far as points, no, we have to find a way to win somehow.
The black and gold getting victory today, folks. 1-4 now on the season after beating the Giants 26-14 in the Dome. We're here at the Point After at the Swamp Room. 5,400 vets in Metairie. Going to take a break and be back with more of our Point After. Right after this, stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Hoo dat, folks. Well, welcome back in, folks, to the Point After here at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie. The black and gold getting their first victory of the season, taking down the New York Giants 26-14, highlighting the day. Definitely for me, KJ Cannon, those five takeaways you mentioned. You get that in the game, there is no way you should ever not come away with the win.
Now, it can happen. Yeah, it even happened in the playoffs, but that'd be a nightmare.
You know, how demoralizing, and not too long ago.
Yeah, and I think the Prince had a great comeback then,
right.
You know, with the Jaguars over the Chargers. But if you'd have told me this before the game, these two numbers, whether running back by committee, how are we trying to utilize Alvin Kamara and Kendrick Miller? And then I didn't really know their running back room except for Scataboo.
Right.
You know, that's one of the fan favorites. When you look at Scataboo, but if you'd have told me this running back's going to have 21 touches and 104 yards, I'd have said, well, that's Alvin Kamara. The reason why I say that, because you look at Alvin Kamara, came into this game, and he's played the Giants in four career games against the Giants. He had averaged 122 and a half yards per game. And including he had 110 scrimmage yards in the two home games in the Superdome. Now, Scataboo ended up with 104 yards, 21 touches. Kamara had 12 touches, 55 yards. So you have to look at the ebb and flow in the game. So I look at the combination, but when you add, you know, Kamara and Kendrick Miller, they had 25 touches. So and Miller ended up averaging of 4.1 yards a carry. He had 10 carries. To Kamara's 8. But I just, when I saw that number, Vito just told me that. So that's a good thing. It's a lot of different ways to win.
Right.
So it's not like we just totally relying on Alvin Kamara to be the go-to guy, which he has been against the Giants, you know, in the past. Now, you look at Taysom Hill. I think they maybe were aware of Taysom Hill might be running the ball, because I don't know if Taysom Hill in a Saints uniform has ever run the ball and ended up with minus yards, right?
Very shocking.
No, he had the nice, I wouldn't have believed that. He had that one-for-one 19-yard pass. That was a pretty pass to the tight end, Juwan Johnson. But Taysom had 6 attempts, minus 1 yard. He had a long gain of 2. Because we've seen that QB power. So the Giants, they probably said, maybe they got some inside scoop. Taysom was going to maybe dress out and play. But Taysom's going to be a big part. What we're doing going forward, and you look at it, I'm not saying we won't utilize him as a tight end or an H-back, and he'll have pass receptions or whatever, but that was really the quarterback role, because when he came in there for Spencer Rattler, and then also, here he is in the game. Taysom Hill's in the game, so they're going to run. And, it looked like he was reading the coverage, and he hit Juwan Johnson for that nice, 18-yard reception.
I'm curious to see how Taysom's feeling after this game. He talked about it on Friday, recovering from his, injury and getting back into the flow of things. He's like, there's not much I need to see out of my knee right now except playing football and getting some contact.
Yeah, and then he got tackled, so it wasn't like he was favoring his knee. No, he did. He worked his behind off him and Foster Morrow rehabbing partners. And that's, I'm not saying it's half the battle, but you got modern day technology, how you can recover from major knee injury, but you still got to work your butt off to rehab. And I think that definitely was the case in Taysom. I mean, he didn't look like he ever got hurt last year. He didn't seem like gimpy. He seems like he could still get hit it and get it. Just that when he was running the ball, there wasn't no hole. it's not like, oh, man, he got to hit that hole. Or it wasn't like that we gave him an opportunity to show his running skills, which I think you will see in the future.
Folks, American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety will donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm, and right here with you. Hanging out on the Point After at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie taking a break. We'll return with even more folks on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network right after this. Back here on The Point After, Saints Point After is brought to you by McDonald's, hanging out here at the Swamp Room at 5400 Vets in Metairie. We're going to go to our WWL talk and text line. You can sound off 504-260-1870 after the black and gold get a 26-14 victory over the New York Giants. Hanging out to talk to the Cajun Cannon, we got Hollywood and Thibodeau. What's up, Hollywood? Welcome on into The Point After.
What's up, Steve? What's up, Bobby? How y'all doing?
What's up, Hollywood Swinger?
Hey, Bobby, I told you 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to tell you again today, it's time to get rid of Groupie. He's not making field goals like he's supposed to, and it's going to come down to crunch time. He ain't going to make. I got that feeling, so we got to bring in Charlie Smith from the practice squad, or we got to go get somebody and have kickers bought in from tryouts this week. What'd you think about that?
Well, you know, I think before they bring somebody else in, they would give Charlie Smith an opportunity.
The Irishman.
Now, he could kick a 70-yard field goal, but then he might miss a 35-yarder. So, no, he definitely has the leg strength. But Groupie coming into the game, I mean, he was 2 of 3, 30 to 39 yards. He was 0 for 1, 4 to 49, and 1 of 2, 50-plus. Now he's like 50%, 2 of 2 from 50. And, no, Hollywood, you look, I mean, he's had 5 misses. That would have been, like, for a whole season. Last year he had 4 missed field goals throughout the season. Right now he's already had 5 misses. So that'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. I don't think he has 3 strikes against him yet, and 3 strikes you're out kind of thing. You know, kickers are weird. Look, that doesn't mean you can't kick in the NFL. Look, I still call him the Saints kicker, our kicker, but look who's kicking for the Broncos.
Will Lutz.
Didn't he used to kick for us?
Mm-hmm.
He's not out of the league, right? So maybe a change of environment. No, Blake Groupie can kick in the NFL. But, boy, you cannot miss those kicks, because in a close game, that's going to be a matter, game of inches. You hear that cliche, find a margin, a margin for error so thin. Then, no, that could be the difference whether you win or lose. And it could happen next week, maybe against the Patriots. So
maybe we need to get your buddy Morton Anderson coming in, give him a little bit of a therapy session as well with you.
Yeah, because, listen, you could be all outstanding training camp, but you have to do it when the game counts. And I don't know, might be anything from a sports psychologist or whatever, but because he's hitting the ball good. It's not like he's, you know, shanking it. Or,
yeah, right.
Or you got the heebie-jeebies, you know, kind of thing. He's just like, ah, you gotta hit it straight and narrow. You know, whether you're going, you know, you can't be slight right or slight left. You got to be true. And he hasn't been that way. So Hollywood, a lot of fans, put it this way, if he was going to have misses, this is the game to have misses because you didn't cost the team. I think it's magnified when you miss field goals, and, well, if we make our field goals, we win the game. Well, here it didn't matter. So I think that's how you, human nature, how you kind of reflect, maybe an organization will look at it. But he's definitely on the hot seat going forward now with the Patriots coming to town.
You know, too, Bobby, it's so odd. We were praising him in training camp over and over. It was like one of the huge bright spots that we constantly highlighted, that Groupie, another perfect day for him. And now we get to the regular season, and it's like, well, I wish he was missing more now in training camp to get that out of his system.
Well, I can tell you, when I told Morton Anderson that Groupie, again, I forget if it was like he was 53 or 54.
Right.
And it was long kicks, and it was inclement weather. The one kick he missed, it was raining, and it was outside. I want to say maybe about a 48-yarder or something. And I said, Martin, have you ever missed just one camp in training camp? No, he goes, I kicked for 25 years, and in training camp, I missed about 4 or 5. No, it does matter. You can't be a great practice player and not be a gamer. No, the games count. You know, give me a gamer versus, well, he practices terrible. You know, yeah, so I remember playing with some receivers. Man, you know, like Eric Martin even said one time, man, the practice is for the unskilled. When it comes game time, you got to turn a different notch. So hopefully Groupie can turn around, because he's on the hot seat. Like I said, if he doesn't, then they'll go in a different direction.
We're here at the Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room, 5,400 Vets in Metairie, folks. Come by, say hey, hang out with the Cajun Cannon after a Saints 26-14 victory over the G-Men. We're going to take a break, pause a little bit, be right back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network after this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here at the Swamp Room, 5,400 Vets in Metairie. The Saints getting victory today, folks. 26-14 over the New York Giants, making that Superdome crowd happy, and also happy the crowd here at the Swamp Room, also hanging out with the owner, Albert. Man, oh man, it was finally great to be back in the win column for the Black and Gold. Been way too long. How you doing?
A lot better today. A lot better.
Yeah, Albert, isn't it always better when you win?
Well, hello.
We're not just PE class. We're not just competing. You have to win. You feel good. You know what? I guarantee you, the work production, I don't know if we're dealing with inclement weather, the surrounding parishes, all the Houdat Nation, Gulf Coast, Gulf South, the work production will be so much better tomorrow because the Saints won. People ain't going to be bitching that Saints won them. I'm going to be very productive today.
Well, the fact the Saints have been in almost every game helps.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, right.
Outside the Seahawks game, everything's been down to the last second. And we saw a lot of positives today. The Rattler almost had 70% completion with drops.
Right.
Kool-Aid looked good in the secondary.
Kool-Aid looked like Kool-Aid.
That's right.
He earned that nickname today.
That's right.
And that's going to help his confidence. And all our young cornerbacks, because that's the future. You look at Cooley, you look at Jonas Saker, you look at Jordan Howland, the young safety. I mean, all of those guys making plays, that's what you need for the future. You want, like, DeMario Davis to continue to be one of the top tacklers. He had, like, 10 tackles, you expect that, Cam Jordan. But you want your young players competing at a high level because you got to pass the torch. It's like, I know who's going to be a young guy we can count on. That's why Kendre Miller. We need Kendre Miller to be the second coming to Alvin Kamara. Now, I don't know if that'll happen because Alvin Kamara, that's like Christian McCaffrey.
That's Hall of Fame material there.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, but he has to do something. And now, back-to-back games, Kendre Miller, look how he ran the ball against Buffalo, how he ran today. He was like 4.1 yards a carry, long gain 11, running hard. So that's a good sign. That's what you want to see going forward and for the future is our young players contributing at a high level.
It also looked like we did a lot better on penalties today. A lot less penalties, cleaned it up.
Back-to-back games now.
Cleaned it up, that helps a lot.
Yes.
Now, special teams, we got to fix.
We had one negative thing. We're not no more a top five special team unit. We were always, like, for over a decade, if not top three, for sure top five. I don't know. We had Chris Banjo. Remember, he left, and we had JT Gray. And now we're counting on Stallburn to be that guy. But this is not good. If y'all notice, we gave up a kickoff return 46 yards. No. We need to get the 46 shorter. We need Bayless Jones Jr. or Kendre Miller to get that. So I was looking at that, because that you're flipping the field position. So no, on special teams, we still got a ways to go, I think, with our coverage units. The punter's kind of up and down. He might get a good role, but to be more consistent, the one thing we did better, this is almost 5 yards, right at 5 yards. Look at the net. net punting average. I can live with this. I'd rather it be 42.5. It was 41.5. Their net was 37.5. So you, all those little bitty things matter. And then Groupie missing his field goals. No, so that can't be a weak link. We are not good enough for us to not win on special teams. It can't be a liability because that will come back to bite us. It'd be like, you don't want to be cussing at the end of the game. Damn special teams. We're right there to win the game. They screwed the pooch.
Well, agreed. And if you look at the Buffalo game, we make the field goal. We're winning at one point in the game. And that changed everything, how the last 3 minutes of the game get played out, as opposed to missing the field goal and playing from behind.
Well, that's why we only had led by 4 minutes. That's why it was imperative. I know Coach Moore took this approach, even though the game's still up for grabs. But when we went into halftime, we're leading. Well, we're winning. I know we want to win at the end of the fourth quarter, but we hadn't been winning at halftime. We're up, you know, it's only 16-14, but we're winning. You know, winning, I like that. Looking at the glass half full instead of half empty. So that's a great thing.
We got Taysom back.
Taysom, yeah. Who doesn't love Taysom Hill? Does anybody, I know, talk about a good-looking guy. I always said this. Taysom Hill is like an all-American American, if yes. That even makes sense. Taysom Hill, if you had a daughter and she came home with Taysom Hill, you'd think you hit the lottery. Taysom Hill is like a living fantasy. An unbelievable individual. You just look at his physical presence. I think all women look at Taysom Hill like, whoa, you hit the lottery with him, and then he's a man's man. Everybody wants to be like Taysom. I mean, he's a physical specimen and a good dude.
Girls want to be with him. Guys want to be him.
Yes.
There you go. Bing, bang, boom.
Steve put it the best way. But that's why I think Taysom Hill completing that pass, he looked like a quarterback throwing that. It wasn't luck. You could see him reading. And then if they block for him, he's going to get back in the groove. He's going to run the ball well. Then you see him break tackles and that QB power. We got to the point. You know where that QB power worked? Look at past games. The Patriots knew we were going to run the QB power in the red zone. Remember when the Patriots couldn't stop them? The QB power with Taysom Hill?
Sure.
Well, guess who we played next week? The damn Patriots. Oh, so Taysom Hill's going to go to sleep good Saturday night, and that QB power in the red zone, that's going to go a long way.
Well, hopefully Kellen Moore can use Taysom like Sean Payton did when he was with all the creative plays that we got him back.
Without a doubt.
And really give us another.
Another dimension. Hey, Taysom Hill, we use him any unit. You know what needs to get the crowd fired up again? Taysom Hill will be on punt coverage. You know, go block another punt.
Smoke some.
You remember against Tampa Bay? Right. We were not doing well, and then all of a sudden, with Taysom Hill blocked that punt against Tampa and Tampa.
Flip the script.
And we won the game. I'm telling you, Taysom's going to block a punt. He's going to catch a touchdown pass. He's going to run for a touchdown. He's going to throw a touchdown. No, it gives the Who Dat Nation hope when Taysom Hill's on the team and in the game.
Albert, how are things going on Tuesday nights here with Raising the Wolf?
So it's actually been great. Over 100 people. We had about 20 teams each week. We've been raising a lot of money for the dogs. It's actually been a home run for us. And the shelter's been great. Dogs are getting adopted. They've had so many coming at once that this is really giving them a boost to everything they need. I think the Metro Humane is super happy with what everything we're doing right now.
That's awesome.
And it's been growing every week, which is the concern, because sometimes when you do events, it's hard to keep that momentum going.
Keep the momentum, right.
And it's been growing, and, you know, I love it just for the, you know, not only helping animals, it's giving us exposure for the business, and, you know, it's a good cause.
So folks want to come out for that. That's every Tuesday. What are the times they got to be here?
Doors open for 5:30. Trivia starts 6:30.
Okay.
Try to knock it out by 8. Got running 50-50 raffle. It's getting pretty big. We're going to do that at the end of the season.
Right.
And we got weekly prizes and stuff like that. And there's tons of dogs here. There's dogs everywhere.
They got to hang out in the bar, too.
100%.
So we know about the great grub here as well. When I first moved to the New Orleans area from New Jersey, the original Swamp Room, when it was around, was what a place I was brought to. A buddy that was a local here said, you got to have the burgers. What makes a Swamp Room burger so much different, and why is it so darn tasty?
So I will say this. Every morning when the same person comes in, hand patties the burgers, makes it, puts a recipe, and the consistency of making that every week. So so much goes into the preparation and making sure, like, I like to have the same person cook it or prep it every week. So that week, right. you have the same consistency.
You know what you're getting.
That's right. And, you know, we go through so many burgers a week that it's easy to get lost in the bulk.
Like, right.
So it's tough. That's why, like, when you see restaurants that are these huge chains that are able to replicate success, it's very impressive. Because it's hard to take that product and replicate it.
To be consistent. That's right. Consistently well.
That's right. Because you can't be here every day, all day. So you got to rely on great people, great staff.
A great team.
Great team. Great team. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
And a great victory today. Definitely like the vibe, obviously, after a win. Everybody here hanging out at the Point After. Swamp Room 5400 Vets. Come on out. Say hey to the Cajun Cannon. Grab some grub. Grab a good drink. Albert, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Again, next Sunday, right?
You know it, right? We're back here after the Patriots game. Another victory.
One game at a time. So I'm going to look at it after next Sunday. We're going to be 2-0.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it. We're going to beat the Patriots. We'll be 2-0. I'm going to look at those.
Positive momentum.
Yeah, 2-0.
Maybe hopefully get a LSU win on Saturday and a Saints win on.
Yeah, I think LSU's going to beat South Carolina. I don't know about beating Alabama. I don't know about that. They're going to beat South Carolina. It'll be a big challenge for the Tigers coming up.
We're breaking here on the Point After. First, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Folks, you want to sound off with the Cajun Cannon enjoying this victory, 26-14 over the G-Men, 504-260-1870. We shall return. Even more of the Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Ah, the sweet smell of victory combined with burgers and wings. Cajun Cannon, great time here at the Point After at the Swamp Room on Vets in Metairie. Want to give a special happy birthday shout out in the house. Happy birthday, Jason Castillo. You got a victory for the Houdat Nation, so welcome on in.
Happy birthday.
Cajun Cannon, the black and gold getting 26-14 victory over the G-Men in this one. And I know a big factor in this one, the O-line.
Well, I was concerned because I talked about this in the pregame during the week. You know, as a team, what do you invest in? Well, the Saints' first-round draft picks, offensive line. The Giants with the defensive line. Who's going to win that battle? And you got to give Spencer Rattle a lot of credit. You got to give the O-line a lot of credit, the whole offense credit. I thought for sure Spencer Rattle would have get sacked at least one time. Spencer Rattler did not get sacked. Now, I thought that to help him not get sacked, we'd have had to run the ball better. Now, that was not the case.
Correct.
Because teams have been able to run against the Giants, but how they protected Spencer? Look, we had 30 rushing attempts, so we did have the attempts. We only had 88 yards, 2.9-yard average. I'd rather that be 3.9 when all said and done. But you got to give Spencer Rattler and the offensive line when they were meeting because they were going against some studs on defense for them. And when you look at, like, household names that people know around the NFL, like I say, zero sacks. If you look at, like, Brian Burns, I mean, he's just a tackling machine, a sack machine, whatever, getting after. Brian Burns had three total tackles, and he had one tackle for a loss. Dexter Lawrence, two total tackles. Kayvon Thibodeau, one tackle for a loss. And who's the other one I was thinking? Okay, the draft pick, third overall, Abdul Carter, you know, Penn State. He had four tackles, but zero sacks. They did not get a sack, and I'm telling you, the Giants' D-line, if you're not able to run against them, they can pin their ears back. They give you the business.
Coming after you, right.
So you got to give props to the offensive line. That was a big part. And Spencer Rattler getting rid of the ball, his pocket awareness, the way he can scramble and run. And, you know, Spencer Rattler, again, he did enough. Not quite as he did against the Buffalo Bills. We had 49 yards, but 21 rushing yards. He had a long gain of 11. Now, Jackson Dart ran like I thought he could run. You know, so I can always see. You know the over and under when you're looking in Vegas, Jackson Dart?
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if any game he'd have, like, under 40 yards rushing. You know, because he's young. He had 7 carries, 55 yards. He had that long gain of 20, right at 8 yards a carry. So But looking overall, I wanted to give props out to our offensive line and how well, and the whole combination of not getting sacked, because I thought that was critical. Now, we got ripped off with a sack, and when you think about it, we only had one sack on Jackson Dart, and then Carl Granison should have had a sack, and they called a personal foul penalty on that. So, but other than that, outstanding. And you know who else is outstanding? A guy we're not familiar with on special team, led the team in special teams tackles. Chris Rump, the third. He led the team with two special teams tackles. So that's a guy that's going to be part of the defense rotation at times. But he, like I said, he led the team with two special teams tackles.
Cajun Cannon, another thing, special teams. We were oh so close to a block punt from Isaiah Stallbird. Imagine that was included in this game.
Yeah, but he could have blocked it. I mean, it looked like he was going to take the right angle. I know you don't want to rough the punter.
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know how in the matrix
how did he miss
world
it?
The ball went right through, right?
Yeah, how did he miss it? No, he's going to come on. He's a stud player. He's our young stud. Now, he has a ways to go to be all pro. Because JT Gray was like a two-time all pro, if I got that right. But this penalty on Carl Grandison.
Right, I'm showing the replay to the Cajun Cannon right now on a roughing the passer call.
How are you supposed to tackle the quarterback? He didn't do
and
nothing.
Then he lets up. He just pushes him down, basically.
He didn't land on. No, that's garbage. I mean, you cannot make that call. That should have.
Ref should get fined.
He should get fired. You got to go referee something else. You can't do this. You can't call that penalty. You mean too overly protective.
We're taking a break here on The Point After. You can sound that off on our talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Very who dat victory today, folks. Saints getting in the win column, 26-14 over the New York Giants. We shall return with even more right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat? We're back here at The Point After, the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets Boulevard in Metairie, folks. Saints getting a 26-14 victory over the New York Giants. Plenty of good vibes going around. Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations, $10,090 on the season. KG Cannon, we're going to go to our talk and text line where we got Tommy hanging on. Tommy wants to sound off about the Saints victory. What you got for us tonight?
Bobby J, CBG, what's up, my fellas?
Hey,
doing
what's
good.
Up? What's up? What you got, man?
Bobby J, what in the hell? How do we get flagged for making a sack, dude? Like, seriously, man. Are we going to play football or not? Come on, man.
Well, listen. It's all entertainment, and they want the quarterbacks to be healthy, but we're still playing tackle football. You know, we used to say old school.
You like that, Bobby J?
Hell no, they didn't. No. But they used to say even when they would try and protect you, oh, what do we got to do? Put a skirt, put a dress on the quarterback? I don't know. That's probably not politically correct.
They might as well give us to play 8-on-8. You know what I'm saying?
No, and it got to the point. I can remember. You know what they used to do, too? Is that, you know, you can't hit them too high, can't hit them too low. When you're trying to step and throw into a pass, and a defensive, they used to teach them this. Defensive lineman's rushing, and let's say they're kind of going to the ground and keep crawling or try and burst so you hit them right in the knee so you can't follow through. So, you know, you could block. You need that way. And then our tomahawk chop across your head. And I was like, oh, that wasn't a penalty. And then they used to give you a step and a half for it can hit you. No, that might be the most egregious call this whole season on a sack on a quarterback.
Hey, Bobby J.
With Carl Granison said, you can't even hit him.
The rest crew from the Rams game and the NFC game, they think that. That call sucks, dude. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to tackle the quarterback. Now, I can see they don't want the 300-pounders landing on the quarterback. Like, if Carl Granison's coming scot-free, it's not the Saints' fault or Carl Granison's fault that the Giants blew the protection, because I guarantee there's no protection that they have Carl Granison coming free and nobody's blocking him. But it's not like Carl Granison went to sack him or tackle him and then land on him and body slam him to the ground or finish the hit. No, if you look at that play, his helmet moved a little bit? Well, you're getting hit by a big man. That's going to happen. But now it's getting too ridiculous. I know you want to see the Pat Mahomes, the Josh Allen also of the world, but you still got to be able to tackle the quarterback. I mean, if you're hitting them, you know, I could tell you a play that happened. I still remember it. I was in the press box, Steve, but you might have been sitting by me with Mike Dettey, whatever. We were playing the 49ers in the Superdome, and Drew Brees got hit so hard that they threw a flag. And I go, that ain't a penalty. And that helped us because I think Drew might have fumbled, and they recovered. They go, oh, no, roughing the passer. So we continued the drive, then we scored.
Right.
But we get the benefit of doubt because we had Drew Brees. And I'm telling you, it was a good form tackle. He hit him. He didn't hit him. I hit him, like, right in the chest area, and he just tackled him hard. Oh, personal foul, roughing the passer. I'm like, what? I'll get, come on, that's not a penalty. And so that just goes to show you I wasn't just taking up for the Saints or Drew Brees. To me, you could go overboard making a call like that.
Well, Jackson Dart shouldn't be getting any, you know, favoritism calls right now.
Oh, nobody plays for New York.
I hear
oh,
you.
Oh, and he's the great hope. Listen, the NFL, I don't know, this is a conspiracy that, Bobby, what are you talking about? You're making something up. No, realistically, they don't care that the Giants or the Jets, whoever wins, but the NFL wants at least one NFL team in New York to be relevant. You know, the Jets and the Giants, they both can't suck. Look at that market in New York. I mean, they would want one of those teams to be good, and I'm kind of...
Good luck with that.
Yeah, I'm saying that half-heartedly.
Yeah.
But no, Jackson Dart, think, Steve, where he was drafted, he's the future of the Giants right now. And, you know, that, I guarantee if Russell Wilson would have got hit like that, they might not have called that. Now, Russell's smaller, so he might have looked worse. Jackson Dart's a big dude. But the point being that I don't care if it's Pat Mahomes, whoever you think, Josh Allen, Spencer Rattler. If Spencer Rattler would have got hit like that, that's not a penalty. It's not a penalty, whoever the quarterback is, whatever team it's on.
The outrage, if you go across social media, is not just from the local media, local fans. It's also national. NFL Network, ESPN, folks going, how is this flagged for roughing the passer? What is becoming of this sport?
Well, yeah, and if you're in the meeting room and you're trying to do a coaching point and how you're trying to coach, how you're supposed to tackle the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that.
I mean, you know, sometimes how you might have the quarterback within your grasp because I don't want to land on him and slam on the ground, and then they get away. Oh, he scrambled. He got away. Well, I really couldn't tackle him.
Right, and then we're yelling, make the darn tackle.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's... Listen, you can have some rules that favor the offense because we like points. You want to be entertained. But you can't get so ridiculous that's never a penalty. That official has to be reprimanded, and it has to be some kind of consequence for him to make that call right in his face. The only thing I can say, maybe the helmet moved a little bit, but you're going to get some big men. You get hit hard, your helmet might move a little bit.
Well, the drinks are flowing and the food smells great here after a victory for the black and gold. The Saints take down the New York Giants 26-14, taking a break on the point after at the Swamp Room at 5400 Vets in Metairie. We'll be back right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here at the point after at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie, after a glorious victory. Saints taking down the New York Giants 26-14. Head coach Kellen Moore getting his first victory as the head coach of the Saints. Spencer Rattler getting his first victory as the starting quarterback of the black and gold. Let's hear from the Saints quarterback after that victory. Here's what Spencer had to say.
All right, how we doing?
How are you? Not as good as you.
Oh, much, you know, feels good, man. Feels good to get that first win. It was a team win. Defense played great. O-line played elite today. I believe we had zero sacks versus that front. So, you know, that's a great building point. And, you know, catch that momentum, you know, go on a run, just keep working, keep progressing, and keep doing what we're doing.
Can you walk us through when you saw on the 87-yard touchdown with Rasheed?
Yeah, you know, we had that play dialed up, knew what we were going to call going into that series. I told Sheed, just make that safety turn, and he had him spin that corner bit down, and just great protection, put the ball up, and he took it to the house. It was a good feeling.
When you let go of that, is the biggest mission to, like, not overthrow it? You know what I mean? Like, because you see him coming free, it seems like you
He dropped kind of a soft pass to him. Is that the biggest obstacle to not overthrow it?
Yeah, you just put it to a spot. It's hard to overthrow him. You know, I put it towards that sideline so he can run under it, and connected really well. Repped it throughout practice, you know, since training camp. So it's good for it to come to life, and was a play we needed in the game to bring some momentum, and that definitely turned some things around.
You guys have been chasing that explosive play in the last 4 weeks. What does it feel like to probably have that in your bag?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that was, again, a defense that presented an opportunity for those shots. So we had it dialed up this game. You know, could have connected on a few more, I think, but it was good to get that one. You could see what one big play can do for a game. There was a few others, but, you know, overall, you know, pleased with it. We got to finish in the red zone. Thought we were really good on third down today, and but still got to finish in the red zone a little better.
Is that the first time you kind of got exactly what you wanted, look, play, opportunity, coverage, like all that kind of comes together and, you know, on one of those shots?
Yeah, this year I would say so. You know, it was the perfect look. It was a great route, great protection, great call. But yeah, it was dialed up and it was ran well, executed well.
And does that, like, under center play action kind of help maybe create some of that, you know, downfield turning your back, maybe getting the bite a little bit, and like, does that help create that look?
Yeah, I think so. You know, especially when you're, you know, going out on first down, under center running the ball, you know, they might just run on it and boom, you know, touch the back up. They might think they're trying to run it and then you get a shot. Play drive, that's always great.
Could you feel the difference in the crowd in the Superdome after that one play? It's like that's maybe the most awake they've been in a year.
Yeah, you know, that was it was nice to look around and see everybody dancing and turning up, and that was our message today. Let's put on for the home crowd. Let's go out there, you know, make a statement and get a big win. And, you know, we needed a win. We needed those vibes, and, you know, it's definitely a much better feeling for sure.
What was it like for you to see your defense come up with those five?
It was huge. You know, it was great to see. You know, they played their tails off. Credit to them. They kept us in that game as well. And, you know, we could do better. We could do a better job offensively taking advantage of those turnovers, especially in plus territory. We got to, you know, we're getting down there to the red zone. Now, credit to the Giants. They did a great job with their coverage down there. You know, kind of eliminating some shots towards the red zone, end zone area. But, you know, we got to find a way, you know, to score those points. And, you know, we had opportunities and we left them out there. So that's room for improvement. But we'll clean that up going into this next week and try to hit those.
Like having an emotional lift getting Taysom back in the lineup today. And kind of what was that process like for you guys this week, only having a couple days of him working with y'all?
Yeah, Taysom and Foster, having those guys back just brings great energy, great vibes. I mean, you heard the Who Dat chant. I mean, that got us rolling from the jump. You know, those guys, they're the heartbeat of our team, you know, two of our top guys, and just having them on the field, on the sideline, dressed out, playing, it's a good feeling for all of us.
Spencer, you had the boat of being, you know, over 10 as an NFL starter, but you get your first win. What does that mean to your first win?
It's big, you know. You got to weather the storm. You know, just keep going. Keep having the same process. The outcome will take care of itself. You know, the past is the past. Now we're just looking towards the future. You know, keep stacking wins. Keep some momentum going, and try to get W's every week.
Looking towards that future, what can a win like today kind of do for y'all momentum-wise moving forward?
Yeah, just, you know, seeing who we are, what we can be, and knowing we left stuff out there as well, you know. I think that's a good thing. You know, we left points out there. We could have scored way more. So there's definitely room for improvement, but it's good to get a win. It's an NFL game. It's not easy. Hard to come across wins in this league, and it's good to get one.
Spencer, Collins said that you got a game ball. What did that mean to you? What will you do with it?
Yeah, I mean, it's great feeling, you know. He got a game ball as well. Obviously, first win for him, first win for me. So it's a good feeling. Keep that ball at home, you know, and keep it for a long time, you know.
Your message to the fans after the game included something like, you got to make a streak. Obviously, how do you go about
that? Yeah, just keep doing our process, you know, week to week, day to day. Keep focusing on you know, our attack mode in practice and walkthroughs, whatever. We had a great week of practice. Probably had our best walkthroughs pregame. And, you know, guys were just dialed this week. We knew it was like a must-win situation that was in our mind. So, you know, it's good to get a win at home, and just got to keep it going. Keep going.
How did you see the team kind of – we asked about it every week, but – three of those losses were really close against three really good teams. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you see the team kind of stick with it and get to this point?
Yeah, you know, we were close in a lot of these games, and, you know, it comes down to a few plays each game, offensively, defensively, special teams-wise. And we made just a few more plays than they did today, and that's how you win a game. You know, defense, obviously, you're going to win when you have a great turnover ratio like that. We protected the ball well. We protected the ball well all year, but it was good to have some explosives today, catch some momentum in the defense, how they played. It was great.
You brought it up. I mean, this is like a loaded defensive front that they have to get through today. Mm-hmm. No sacks. What did you think?
Yeah. They've been great all year. You know, they've worked their tails off. Those guys, that's not an easy front to deal with. A lot of speed, a lot of power, a lot of experience. And we had a great plan. We executed it well, got the ball out quick, and hit our shots when they were there, and moved the ball pretty well.
You mentioned your process a few times, and, obviously it's not just, lip service, because you're never really impressed when things aren't going your way, force passes. How do you just stay within that, even when things aren't going your way, and not feel the pressure of man, I gotta win a game here, or something like that?
You know, you just can't look too much deep, too deep into it. You got to just kind of control what you can. I know I said that a lot, but, like I said, it's hard to come across wins. It's good to get one. You can't press, because if you press, you turn the ball over a few times, you're going to lose that game. So you got to protect the ball, number one, and then, hit our shots when they're there. So that's what it comes down to. Those check downs that go for 10, 12 yards, those are huge plays in the game, just like an 87-yard touchdown, So, got to have a balanced attack and feel like we did well today.
Not everyone can do that, though. Are you ever, fighting that, the urge to maybe go out and, throw a hero ball or, something like that?
There's always an urge, especially if you have the right look. We took a few today that we got four PIs today, which is great. We knew they were a grabby man, defense, and knew we had those opportunities. So those count those as explosives as well, you got to give your guys opportunities, because it's either, 50-50 or in stride or a PI.
Spencer, you talked about him before, but of course LSU wins, and what have you seen working with him over the course of this week?
Yeah, just a confident guy, smart guy, plays really hard. You can rely on him. So he's another great part of our offense. And, Caesar's been a good big bro to him. And that O-line room, obviously he's a younger guy, but he's playing his tail off. So, he's going to keep doing his thing.
You have to catch your wind after the Rashid score. It looked like you were chasing after him.
Probably the fastest I ran all game. you get excited, man. You get turned up, and, you want to have that energy throughout the whole game. Those plays create energy for the whole team, the whole crowd, and we definitely want to have more of those going forward.
That was Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler. Went 21 of 31 passing, 225 yards and a TD. Ends up with a rating of 99.5 after the game, but obviously the most important number, Cajun Cannon. He is now 1-10 as a starting quarterback.
No, Spencer Rattler is playing winning enough football. if you look at it, and I can tell you when I mean winning enough football. No, you want him to make more chunk plays like he did with Rashid Shaheed. Yeah, bombs away.
Yes, please, more.
But you know what he's not doing? I'm telling you, he's not costing
giving
the
it
team
away, right.
One interception. He's being disciplined with the ball. He now has 6 touchdowns. To 1 interception. Now, so going forward, and then we all have to take into consideration that the plays he's making with his feet.
Right.
Rushing the football. Coming into the game, he was averaging 6.5 yards a run. He had a long gain of 15 so far this season. He had over 102 yards. And if you look today, he had 21, a long gain of 11. So what all said and done, and you're going to see, he takes advantage. And he'll have 5 to 6 runs a game that could be significant. So, now, I don't know if you'd say the ultimate dual-threat quarterback, but Spencer Rattler is a dual-threat quarterback because his pocket awareness is good enough. He didn't get sacked today, so he's avoiding sacks. He's playing smarter, getting the ball on his hands. Now you got to hit those chunk plays, so he's avoiding the sacks, and he's not throwing any picks.
Saints getting that victory, breaking the seal on that for the season. Next up, the New England Patriots coming to the Dome next Sunday. Right now,
We're at the point after here, hanging out at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie. After that 26-14 victory over the G-Men, we shall return with even more right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're here on the point after at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie, after the Black and Gold get their first victory of the season, beating the New York Giants 26-14. Don't want to waste too much more time. Get back into our talk and text line where you can sound off, 504-260-1870. We've got Ethan and Metairie on the line, wanted to join the point after. What you got for us tonight, Ethan?
I just want to say, great game from the Saints today. Usually my Saints are usually very abysmal. My new nickname for them is Abysmal Ain't, but they weren't very abysmal today. Defense did amazing, 5 turnovers. I was really happy about that, watching the game in person. It just made me really invigorated today. Offense was doing great as well, just converting the ball. I feel like our only problem this season is we usually get the ball late in the game. We just can't convert. So I feel like the offense converted today, and they capitalized off their opportunities.
Yeah, they did convert to finish the game. You look on third down. I think that was outstanding, winning football. That has to continue. I think two areas where you can see the drastic changes and what's come about, because it wasn't like that necessarily the first 3 games of the season, is the third down and penalties. You know, the first 3 games, we were averaging over 10 penalties a game. Come on, you're shooting yourself in the foot. And then on third down, we did the poster child of what you're supposed to do on third down offense and defense. We held the opponent. It should be low 30-some percent. Well, today they were 3 of 10, 30%, like I said earlier. And we were hovering around 50%. We were 7 of 15. No, that is dictating the ebb and flow of the game. If we continue to do that, that's winning football. Now, when we're moving the ball and converting on third down, now we got to finish in the red zone. We got to score touchdowns. But that's one area. And that was not the case for the Giants. That's basically like a touchdown where they were right around 9 penalties and right around 100 yards. They had 8 of 95, but that's like a touchdown. And that can make all the difference winning or losing.
KG Cannon, next on our talking text line, we got Sean in Colorado. Is this Sean Payton? What you got for us, Sean, here on the point after?
Hey, Bobby. It was a great victory today regardless. How are you feeling heading into the rest of the season, though?
Well, you know, you have to pull off upsets. And, Steve, when you look at our schedule and where we're at, okay, I think, look, you have to build upon this. I think we should be able to take care of business, the Patriots at home. I think it's going to be tough to win in Chicago. Steve, do you have the record? I mean, not the record, the schedule right in front. I can tell you right quick. Look and see. Okay. If you look at the Patriots at home, at the Bears, I'm telling you, that's going to be tough in Chicago. The Bucks at home, I mean, come on. The Bucks are one of the best in the NFC, cream of the crop. At the Rams, hello, I don't think we're beating the Rams at L.A. Well, that's why they play the game. I'm going to tell you right now, you know what I'm really going to feel good about the team, and shame on us if we don't win? Because we've always played good in Carolina and Charlotte.
Kitty Cats.
At week 10, at the Panthers before the bye week. Now, after week 6, so I think that's going to be a tough stretch, 7, 8, and 9, because you look at it at the Bears, and then that's one home game. You got at the Bears, Bucks
Bears,
at home,
Bucks,
and
Rams,
at the Rams.
Right.
No, that's going to be tough games. But, I mean, that's why the over and under is 4 or 5 wins when you look at it, but the players don't look at that. But I look at it, no. If you heading in the right direction and you might have a roller coaster season where you win a couple of games in a row, you lose 2 or 3 in a row. You go somewhere around there. Now take care or take advantage of the momentum, just beating the Giants today and then taking care of the Patriots. Now, they moved the kickoff to noon.
We got another early start next week.
Yeah, it was a 3 o'clock game against
England. We got flexed to the early time.
Yeah, we got flexed early time at 12 noon against the Patriots. But I think we should win that game at home.
Thanks for the call, Sean. We're going to take a break here on the point after. Return with even more. Keep it locked here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Swamp Room and Metairie is the place to be, hanging out with the Cajun Cannon after a Saints victory, taking down the New York Giants 26-14, finally getting in that win column. Black and Gold now sitting 1-4 on the season, hoping the Seattle can pull off a victory over Tampa Bay. Right now, the Seahawks leading
35-28 over the Bucks with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter there. Definitely keeping an eye on that. But now it's time to find out what is bugging Bobby about today's game. That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, looking at the victory, 26-14. I know you'd like to see more points off those five turnovers, but what's really bugging you about today's game?
Well, there's always be two or three things, when you don't win, that you got to pay attention to detail. But what's bugging me? Okay, because this could come back to haunt you. And Coach Moore, Kellen Moore will tell you, you got to get touchdowns in the red zone. You can't just settle for field goals. But other than that, look, penalties, I ain't bitching about that. I ain't looking at third down. No, this is what we did today on third down. That's the poster child, what we have to do going forward. Penalties again. We don't need to be anywhere. Nine penalties or more, 100 yards, so that ain't bugging. What's bugging me, you can't go 0 for. We were 0 for 3 in the red zone. And then you knock it on the door in goal-to-goal situations, we were 0 for 2. So that's really the only thing that's bugging me is we didn't measure any percentage. And like, 0%. So, and I'm not going to say we got to go 3 for 3. No. Now, I think goal-to-goal, hell yeah, we got to be 2 for 2. But then red zone, you have to be at least 2 for 3.
Correct.
You know, and I look at, I mean, extend the red zone. You can, some people call it the goal zone. I put like 25-yard instead of the 20-yard line on in. 25, you got to be able to finish the deal. What might help, though, in the future, you know what really gets the defense frustrated? And because they have like an extra defender, they could squat on routes.
Right.
And if they really know what they're doing in pass coverage, because they're not worried about getting beat deep, they squat and can make plays. Run the ball. If you can run the ball in the red zone and it doesn't matter, they know you're going to run, then that's how you could get that efficiency where you're in the red zone, make it 2 out of 3 instead of 0 or 3.
That's what's bugging Bobby about today's game, brought to you by J&J Exterminators, Louisiana's largest independent exterminating company. We shall take a break here on The Point After, return with even more after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Bucks TD. Back here on The Point after a Saints 26-14 victory over the New York Giants. As we roll on here, let's pause 10 seconds. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon feeling good after a victory. About time we got one into the win. The column.
Right.
After a rough start to this Saints season, and like you're always giving me homework. Well, you got homework tonight. The Buffalo Bills hosting the New England Patriots tonight. Got to start scouting the New England team as they get ready to come to New Orleans next Sunday.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. They believe they have their future quarterback in Drake May. We'll have to give them the business, and hopefully if we hit Drake May, they're not throwing a penalty flag on us, roughing the passer. I'm sure that'll be addressed in the future.
Carl Granderson was in Cam Jordan was in the Saints locker room after the game and just was yelling to media, Carl Granderson was robbed. Everybody knows it was such a BS call.
That's going to be critical going forward, that we stay on that plus sign of turnover margin. We were 0 forever. One positive, one negative. Now we plus 5. Let's build upon that. Let's build upon that. And if we the Patriots, if we plus 7, we'll win two games in a row. Not plus 7 overall, I'm talking about. Plus 2 for the game. And then that'll be another thing to beat the Patriots.
You look at the home crowd tonight. It was nice to see a strong black and gold showing. Sure, there were some Giants fans there, Cajun Cannon, but it wasn't a takeover of Big Blue in the Dome today. That's for sure.
No, it wasn't no takeover, but the Giants were nothing to write home about. It was the New York Munchkins. It was like the Munchkins. It was like nothing giant about the New York football Giants right now. They're the New York Munchkins.
That's a wrap on The Point After. You can hear more from the Cajun Cannon with Mike Dettelier tomorrow at the Silver Slipper Casino. Had a blast here at the Swamp Room, 5400 Vets in Metairie. Thanks for tuning in. The Saints getting a 26-14 victory over the Giants, that first win of the season. We're on to Victory Monday, folks. Have a happy Who Dat Monday. Taking that break. Be back with more on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Stay tuned, folks.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.